This is a production of Cornell University.
GPSA meeting, March 23rd, 2009.
All right, so we'll bring this meeting to order at 5:36. Welcome, everybody, and we've got a full agenda. Even though it looks a little bit shorter, I know there will be a lot of discussion, so we'll move right into it. First of all, open forum. Any items not on the agenda? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move on to old business, approval of the minutes. Did everybody have a chance to look at the minutes? Are there any comments, questions, updates?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
All right, all those in favor of approving the minutes, raise your placard.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Is that a yes, Kieran, or no? It's an abstention? Oh, okay, so 9 in favor, opposed, and abstention, 3. Okay, minutes passed. Executive update. You want to start, Mario?
Sure. So the first update that I have is that after, I think, a full year of advocating for access to all graduate students via the communication modem, the graduate school has alerted us recently that they are supporting us. Once a month, we'll be able to send out our GPSA info to all students. We don't have the details of how that's going to work. Be worked out. So that will be forthcoming, but that's a huge gain, and we obviously are very thankful to the graduate school for understanding our concerns via a resolution this semester, and obviously thank them for the support in general. So is there any questions on that? Nope. Okay. The second point is that for those of you who don't know, the Big Red Barn has a big screen in the next big flat screen television in the next room, and they're using that to advertise events. And so to the extent that you want to advertise your events, the Big Red Barn is able to do that. You can email
Chris Corda at
KC31, and I can tell you if you have questions about the dimensions or the how you have to present your advertisements, please just let me know. But generally speaking, it has to be landscape 20 points and sent in. But she's not going to make any changes for you. So if you have any questions about that, you can contact me later. Okay? Great. That's it.
Any questions? Comments? DeAndre.
Well, I just wanted to ask everyone, in gearing up for next year, we're looking for people who might be interested in chairing committees and serving on committees in GPSA and around the university. So I just hope that you guys will just kind of keep your eyes peeled for talent. So if any of you here are interested in serving as committee chairs or on committees next year, or you know people in your department or who are serving on your committees now, please, you know, start talking to them about serving next year.
Questions, comments? Okay, as for me, I just want to remind everybody, so next core meeting, there will be a presentation from EARS, correct?
Mm-hmm.
But also, we'll have elections for next year's assembly. So the next core meeting, already, I know. And then the next business meeting, but not a moment too soon. Oh, that got recorded. And next year's officers get elected from that assembly at the next business meeting. So we all come together one more time, but that's when elections will happen for next year's officers. Okay? And we haven't spoken, well, we've briefly chatted the officers, but we need to be in touch with Office of Assemblies about planning a little end of the year party like we usually do. Oh, it's already planned. Okay, so, great. Come for the party, if nothing else. All right. The other thing that I wanted to mention, which is great news, I've been harping a lot on housing this year. We've done a lot of great things. gotten our voices out there. Good news is the Campus Live designated 25 units at Hasbrook specifically for the single student contract. So this was kind of their designated amount to start with. They have filled those. So now and that's great, because at first they weren't getting contracts in as quickly or in the same kind of timeline that they have in the past. So those really came forward and they filled all of those. They now have a wait list of singles looking for place at Hasbrook. So they've started filling families, going through the family requests, and they're getting those filled, and they'll go back to that wait list after they've suffice the family requests and needs. Am I getting that right, Laura?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we've made progress with that, and I consider that really good, optimistic news. So any questions? All right, then we will move on to a committee report from Brian. Brian, there you are.
Could you?
Yeah.
Thank you. What did I write?
My computer's been slow.
That's okay. I need a minute to remember what I wrote.
Right.
Last week, I meant. Okay. So, two things. First, I want to bring your attention to our website that we've been trying to put information up on. So, this is just to show you that under the documents for student advocacy, everything that the committee has worked on or has been asked to post documents about has been done so. It's broken up by semester, so you have the fall as well as the spring. The spring will be updated again. There's at least two new documents that are going to be posted up there. One about patient advocacy, which I mentioned at the last core meeting. So there's our committee writes that. That will be posted as well. So, and if any of you have anything that you would like posted on our site, just send it to one of us and we can get it posted. So anything about anything on advocacy, we'd be more than happy to have on our site.
Should we go to the next slide?
Yes. Okay, so the news that's happening, just to remind you again, April 3rd, so that's
two Fridays?
That's
yeah,
two Fridays. So in two Fridays, the SAGE's offices, those are the students from Geneva, will be coming down, and student advocacy will be hosting them at TJF, and then we're going to dinner with them as a way of continuing the collaboration between our campus and theirs. So all GPSA is invited to join us at TJF if you so wish. Regarding the resolution on mental health that we wrote, that our committee wrote and the GPSA approved a while back, Jeanette has finally scheduled a meeting with us. We're meeting them this Friday. So it's going to be student advocacy, Brenda from the graduate school, the administrators at Jeanette, as well as some of the physicians at Jeanette as well. So it isn't just administrators. There's actually be some doctors there. The last thing, this was sent to me by Sharon Dittman, who's community relations at Gannett. So this is something that Janet and you, past presidents of the GPSA, worked on, this appropriations bill. There was some issue as to the price of getting contraception bought from university health centers. So now this bill allows for a reduced price for university health centers to buy different contraception to offer to graduate to offer to students. So basically it restores the conditions enabling companies to discount contraceptives. It does not obligate manufacturers to do so, but it allows them to negotiate with different universities as to a reasonable price to offer. So that's good news. And last but not least, 1 week to go, and our open forum is here next week. Yes, the timer is going down slowly. So that poster was sent out to all core. You'll forgive me, but it's going to be sent out again this week. So please, if you've not sent it to your fields, please do so. Please help us continue to promote this. Hopefully this will turn out to be an exciting event. That said, my committee is meeting this Wednesday, 5:30, in Mann Library. We're going to be making the posters that are going to be hung up in the barn, representing the different issues that are going to be discussed at our town meeting. So, if you would like to come help us make posters, cut, paste, draw, color, all those fun things, please do so. It's in Mann Library in one of the basement classrooms, so you actually go into Mann Library and then take the elevator downstairs. And with that, that is all I have. Any questions, comments, suggestions, problems, etc. Okay?
Okay?
Thank you.
Kate has not arrived, right?
No.
Okay. So Kate was in Columbia on a class trip for spring break and wasn't sure if she would be able to make it back, like if there were flight issues. I know. Actually, I don't blame her at all for not being here. she had said she would send me an update on grad ball stuff, but I never got it. So she probably just didn't have access to email very much. So we'll move on from there. Oh, and
I want to interject, but in the last GPSA info, the latest information they had on the grad ball went out.
Okay.
So.
Good. Check your GPSA info.
Yeah. So.
But I think the plan is tickets are going to be on sale pretty soon here. I don't remember. I haven't been there.
Next Monday?
Yeah.
No, the
9th? 9th
of April?
Yeah. No,
that's
a,
right. That seems really late.
It doesn't sound right.
Well, I think what we can do is get an email out.
Yeah.
An email out with update information.
Next Monday.
And they're both here. They'll be at the barn and at Day Hall.
At Day Hall, right. And Kate, I'm sure she'll be in touch with all that information. She's probably just not been around email much this week. So, all right. Questions, comments on committee reports? All right. Then we will move into the meat of the meeting and go to Resolution 9 and discussion on charter bylaws and funding documents. So I think I'm handing it over to Preston first.
So first, before we get started, thank you all for sending comments. To those of you that we missed your comments, we are very, very sorry. We did accept them at one meeting that Preston and I had, and we're getting them added back in today, and we'll do so accordingly.
All right, so today, is going through the charter and bylaws that have been presented, and then also the associated funding documents, and hopefully we will pass them. And so the process that we're going to try to go through is two large types of documents. We shall present all the documents first and then vote on each document individually. So the idea is we go through the charter, we present it, and we go through it, and then we'll have a discussion period, and then we will vote on the charter. Then we'll move on to the bylaws, and then on to the funding document. Since each one is kind of a potential step, and then each one is kind of dependent on the one that's previously passed. So the process that we're going to have is as we're going through it, if you have a question or comment that is longer than we spelled this wrong, or there's a funny space here, please raise your hand. Amy will record you. And at the spot that you have a question or comment for discussion, and then we'll go back through the document as a whole and hit each one of those discussion points. And then once the body has gone through the entire document, we'll go back through the head of discussion. And then if there's remaining time, we'll open the discussion to anything that's remaining. So the first thing that we can step through to kind of look at, we're not going to actually vote on this at the very end, this is just kind of what we are actually looking at today, is R9 itself. I hope all of you have had a time to actually read through the R9 itself and have any points of comments or concerns. So at this time, if you have any questions or comments, just raise your hand and we'll record it and we'll come back to it.
On
R9 itself, like wording, grammar.
Right now. Okay.
We're jumping right in.
Steph had a comment. He noticed an
totally didn't see this and I didn't go through the document, but somewhere there's an appropriate committee instead of
appropriation.
So just a
mistake.
Where
did
that?
It's
in the third B is for the result, or in the second B is for the result, which is the third.
It'll be on the next slide.
The second be it further resolved.
I think I'm missing some here, Preston.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's,
is it? Yeah. There should be a further resolve.
I think there are some.
Oh, that was dropped off of the slide.
Of the slide.
Yeah.
Okay. Third operation.
Fourth.
Okay. Yeah. We'll correct that.
So that's accepted as a friendly amendment. Yeah, there is no appropriation.
The corner of your computer. Sorry.
Any other questions or comments based on our yes, sir?
The wording of this resolution is on the new charter being passed. That's correct.
That is correct.
Obviously, we won't discuss this now.
Right. Until we just wanted to go through this. That's it. We'll come back to this at the very end and discuss this as a whole as well. All right, and then we should move on to the charter itself. So this is just going back through and discussing what it is. And so as we said before, charter first, bylaws, funding documents, and RNAT. And then we just have both the charter as a document. So to begin with, has everyone had a chance to look through the charter in its entirety or in its parts of interest? Okay, so we'll start off with the preamble itself. I'm not going to read the preamble, but is there any questions or comments based on the preamble? Was there any wording issues?
Is there a similar to the previous preamble, right?
It's
correct.
Verbatim, yes. All right, seeing none, at this time I'll move on to the Article 1, establishment, which is establishing our organization with the relationship with the rest of the university body. And I don't believe there have been any questions or comments on this one, so I'll move on to the authority. And Article 2.01 is the scope of the authority that we have. So the majority of this has come directly from the document itself. And if there's any questions or comments, you can stop me at any time, we'll record it all. Okay, moving on. Then we move into the graduate student activity fee. You'll notice in the charter itself that it is reiterated in its own articles. The reason for it is you have to establish it underneath authority itself in order to have it later in the document. And then we move into legislative authority over policies, university calendar, requests for information, public hearing forms. Is there any questions or comments? Yep.
I was just noting that there seems to be inconsistent capitalization on the second section title.
We'll note that and make sure that we go back through on the format. And if there's any formatting issues, please bring them up as well.
Under this section or under?
It seems to be systematic. Like some section titles are all capitalized, and some are just first letter capitalized or first word.
Yes, like section 2.08 or spelling it.
Yeah, like comparing 2.03 to 2.04.
All right.
Moving on.
And then we get to Article 3 of the responsibilities. Again, the majority of the responsibilities were taken directly from the old charter and just re-up into this charter. So we have a semi-annual report.
Well, that's the change.
The semi-annual report. Yeah.
So it used to state annual report, but in fact, at least the last 2 years, we've done semi-annual reports for the president, and so we just decided to write that in.
So that was accepted as a friendly amendment, as the fact was that's how we've been operating for the past. Yes?
Under Section C, it says the GTSA of the following year is required to respond to annual business.
Under which section?
Semi-annual report.
302C.
Yes, that was from, that was verbatim from the old charter, and we felt that keeping that was valuable so that the...
Should it be both semi-annual reports or just semi-annual?
It says, I think it says from of the following year to respond formally, but it means anything that's left from them to report.
Okay.
Would be how I'd read it.
I'd like to go to that. Yeah. Okay. I wish you could clarify that. Noted? Yep. All right, it'll be noted, and we'll come back to the discussion. Okay, and then we move into section 3.03, which is the agenda and pending resolutions. I believe these are fairly consistent with what was previously written in charter and how we operate.
Except for C. C was written in here because we realized in the charter that there was nothing defining who and how you would present resolutions. And we figured that that was an important enough thing to add to the procedure of GPSA.
The, something about the verb test. The
verb test, I would like to know of it. Can we move into objections to actions taken? Any questions or comments based on this section? Seeing none, we'll move into the membership section itself. And there's been a significant kind of change in describing what members actually are. Going back through the whole issue of where initially the Charter Review Committee suggested changing the name of the Graduate Professional Student Assembly to Association. Instead of altering that name, we changed the way we regard ourselves within the organization itself. So we have everybody the member of the GPSA, and then you elect voting members. And so that's kind of what the membership is going to describe. And I hope when you reread the document, you picked up on it. And so that is pretty much, you go through and describe the GPSA members first, and then it goes from there to describe how a voting member actually does.
Mario.
So, section 4.03B.
4.03B.
I had suggestions at the last meeting, and I apologize, I didn't send you the information, but it's a total of six letters for the first sentence. I would suggest adding, for the purposes of filling a core seat.
Well, but we're not using the designation core.
For the purposes of filling a member
seat. A member seat, then.
Where are you suggesting that?
B, at the end of the first sentence.
Oh, okay.
A field-specific member seat.
Yes. That's it.
Okay.
That will be accepted as a sentence.
Yep. Great, thank you.
Person, are there fields that don't have a DGS but have a GRS? The word infusion increases before surgery.
Everyone has a GRS, so that's one of the people that you talk to and give your paperwork through to the graduate school. But we found in discussing there are some fields that don't have DGSs.
And those are often fields that span departments. So where your field might describe by a single department. Any other comments based off of the member section?
Wait, oh, I see. Just realized it says graduate field representative, GRS, is that right? Is that correct?
That's probably
GFR. GFR. Good call.
Section 4.05.
4.05.
Wait,
election of voting members.
Well, of course, can you put me down on 4.04 if we have time?
Certainly.
Wait, so we're going to 4.05?
So, okay, wait, 4.04, what's your issue with 4.04?
Well, I should talk about the 16.5.
Okay, so that'll be for a general discussion.
How many?
4.05?
Title. I don't know, should we Because you always talk about voting in assembly.
That should be good.
Feeling vacant, what are we doing here?
Voting.
Voting.
Just a title, of course.
The title.
Of
course.
We're in assembly.
I didn't have a problem with anything else from that.
The article numbers are in one font, and then there.
Oh, okay, yeah. We can go back. That will be accepted as a prevalent.
What's this?
There's
two fonts.
I have been dealing with all her comments over the last week and a half.
I think
it was
good.
It's
the same font.
Yeah. I did that out of love, but Kristen and I are about ready to throw these documents out the window. So, article, font.
Well, the bullet points.
Articles. Yeah.
Article section number eight and all that would be in a different
font. Oh, goody.
Yeah. That one's a good one. That's a separate section. Okay. Any other comments on the members, how we get a voting member, how we replace a voting member, filling vacancies, and then also ex officio members?
Are we addressing that now?
We'll move on.
Or we go back to that?
If it's a longer discussion point, we'll go back.
Yeah,
no, it's fine. Okay.
Okay.
That's fine.
So we're
moving.
So we're done with section four.
Article four.
Okay.
Then into article five, the opposite of the GPS thing, and so the definition has it as the president, executive vice president of operations. Again, we want to point out that we removed the assembly.
UA.
The UA, University Assembly Fees from Officer Designation. And so, and also the Council of Assembly should serve as a non-voting ex officio officer. Then we go into describe officer election, and then officer responsibilities.
Comments?
Yep.
Can we just put down 5.03 for discussion?
Sure.
There.
Just a small comment. Can we set the phrase in 5.02.1, can we set the phrase as soon as possible off in apostrophe? Seems like there's a flow problem.
Wait.
Well, not going to be, sorry. As soon as possible off in the spring election.
So 5.02, what would change?
I would add a comma after will and a comma after election.
Yeah.
Okay.
After the spring election.
Will. Sounds good.
No, that's good.
formulate the bylaws before the first meeting of each year, and it's in a sense the parliamentarian of every meeting. So they're responsible to ensure that the proper reform follows. And so that is a major change to how it's operating currently, because there was nobody in charge of the aspect previously.
And in the first version of the charter that we sent out, it was proposed as a separate committee. There was some bantering back and forth, and whether you try and add this as another person or put this under VPO. And it was kind of finally compromised that we put it under VPO, try it out for a year or two, and if people don't like it, they can change it during the next charter review process.
If we want to elongate the discussion on that, we can. If not, we can just move on.
Good to go.
All right. See you now, guys. Then the council to December is pretty much decided previously. All right. And then we go into replace.
Small grammar errors. Council assembly, is not capital. You also in B34, it should be the word president is omitted from vice president for operations.
Yes, thank you. Those are both acceptable. It's a very vice for operations.
I'm glad you guys are catching all these. Yeah.
I think I should have been a proofreading
person. I think that's how it goes.
All right, and then we'll move on to the replacement of officers. Any questions or comments? Yes, here.
In that section under A43, at the very end, you become necessary to hold an event before the next business meeting. I was wondering who's going to chair that meeting because it's not specified as either a business or a discussion meeting.
Which one?
First of all, the meeting must receive written approval from at least 2/3 of voting members. In fact, the type of meeting is not.
Where?
I'm
sorry. The election of officers.
Yep. So you're under
4. Right, 4-3.
It's not said what type of meeting it is. Or is it obvious that this is a business meeting or a discussion meeting?
So. We've also written this into holding additional meetings, where this gets on to a little bit later, where we've added that you can call an additional meeting throughout the semester,
right,
and it follows the same type of guidelines. So I would say that this would have to be a business meeting because you're electing an officer.
Okay, that's fine. But then I think it should specify.
Okay, so specify, should it become necessary? The first thing convening the business meeting?
Yes.
Okay, friendly.
Yes. Yep.
A1-2?
A1-2, okay.
You say in such a case, which I assume means that the executive vice president declines, but it's never specified. Oh, wait, never mind. In such a case, never mind, I think I got it.
Okay. We're good?
Yeah. And we're through all the cases there.
Any other comments or questions on this question? Is it proceeding forward? We go into the committee section. And so the first part of Article 6 is the establishment of a separate committee, which is citing back to many other of our authority and responsibilities, ad hoc as well. So we move into the standing committee portion of it, which basically defines which committees are stated as standing committees. If there's any questions or comments, please let us know. Moving on.
In item A, under which section?
Up under
6.02.
No, I'm sorry. 6.01C, University Location.
Ah, good call.
I think that, yeah, that can just
should be we go
a find all.
Yeah, that will be everybody's all.
So we will make all capitalization to universities and find all where appropriate. Does that make sense?
I'm sorry.
So capitalizing the university throughout the document.
We're referring to core now.
Right, right. We'll go through and do that as a find all and capitalize.
So I'll just get those. All right, so we're moving to ad hoc committee establishment and role. Yes?
D3 in action.
D3, yes. Addition committee.
Additional,
yes.
In a few places where that's good, you might want to search for the word addition. Because I think there's three different locations where the word addition was used as addition. So if you just search for it.
Okay, that makes that in the problem. Then section 6.04 is the standing committee specific, and so we move into the executive committee, which defines basically the operation that has been currently going on, and then the operations of the staffing committee. Is there any questions or comments on either these two committees? I've been moving forward. Then we move into the elections committee, which is, okay, I think it's a funding committee. And then we move into the appropriations committee, which one of the changes that occurred is the initial name change was the appropriations policy committee, but then it capitalized to the appropriations committee.
I have one about the elections committee.
Yep.
And this isn't like something that has to be in there, but it doesn't say on the elections committee. It says the chair, who the chair shall be, but it doesn't say how the chair is appointed or selected. Is that
it's in the bylaws.
It should be in the bylaws.
Okay.
Because that's where the definition of chairperson is.
Okay.
Yes, here.
Yes. So in section 6.4D.
6.4,
I think.
6.4. Okay.
I would ask for the sentence to change to the appropriations committee shall review and make suggestions to the GPSA concerning the GPSA Climate Commission funding guidelines. Right now, the way it's done is it seems that it should suggest things to the GPSA Finance Commission regarding that Finance Commission's own guidelines. And I think that at this point, and also at other points later, I mean, same comment, that the Finance Commission should not set its own guidelines. The GPSA sets the Finance Commission's guidelines, and it's the Appropriations Committee's role to review those and to suggest changes.
So, repeat your wording, please.
Just remove the word Finance Commission the first time it's used.
No, that's true. So right now it just says make suggestions, but it should also, the sense that...
Okay, so just remove what you're proposing.
The Appropriations Committee shall review, and make suggestions to the GPSA concerning, the GPSA Finance Commission funding right now.
I don't agree with the comments. Okay, so we'll take the comments out, but I like the wording. Is that okay?
No.
So review.
No, this is great. Because all the people are substituting me. I love it.
And Chris and I are like, just give me these arguments. So I think the wording's great. Can we just leave the comments up and not debate them?
Yeah.
All right, then they accept it at this time.
Awesome.
Any other points of interest in the appropriations committee section? Moving down at this time, we're moving on to the communications committee. And again, you can bring up more of the discussion period. Any questions or comments on the communication? Mother? Nothing? Okay. Seeing that, we'll move into the student advocacy committee portion. Is there any?
Finance.
Very any questions or comments regarding the GPSA Finance Commission? It's more detailed in the bylaws than maybe questions in that position.
There's a question.
There is? Yes, Mike?
The Chair of the Appropriations Committee has served on the GPSA.
GPSA FD.
Was it ever also the other way around?
The same thing is listed twice. It's listed under the FC and under the Appropriations.
Do we want to make it both ways around, where the FC chair has to serve on the Appropriations Committee as well? Do we need that continuity?
I don't think that's necessary, because I think that the reason Yearn serves on the FC is because the Appropriations Committee allocates a substantial portion of their budget to the FC, so maybe there's at least an understanding to go back to the committee to tell them how the FC is using its money. But I don't think there's any disclosure in the FC needs to know
how bodily funded organizations are funded. They simply have to have awareness that any member of the council would have that there are bodily funded organizations that are funded.
I would recommend leaving it in both places because I know last year what we ran into was confusion from both sides of what am I supposed to serve on this committee and is this person is supposed to serve on
it's
my
fine.
Committee.
I don't object. That
so that was part of the reason that it was in there, just to keep things clear from past experience.
All right, at this point, any further questions on this? We'll address in the discussion. Moving on, we'll move to the student advocacy committee portion. If there are any questions or comments based on the student advocacy? Any grammatical? Seeing none, we'll move into the events committee. Is there any questions or comments based on the events committee?
You know, I just realized I don't know that we should put this in the. In the charter that they put on the grass ball. I mean, in the charter, I think that would be more of a byline issue. Bylaw. That's what I meant. Bylaw.
It's in the bylaw.
Okay, then I would just remove then section 2 from the charter.
I wasn't paying attention, but I didn't. One of the worries about moving into the bylaws is if you read the bylaws, you can suspend any articles in the bylaws. So you could technically suspend it a lot easier than you could to change the charter.
I think that's fine.
How about leaving B instead of calling it grad ball, an annual large graduate event or something like that, or just take it out?
Just take it out.
Take it out?
Yeah.
Put it as a discussion point. Okay. Good call, Rebecca. Okay.
All right, then moving forward, we're going to the University Attorney Representation, so this is where the UA, where it was previously in the officer section, is now defined. Any questions or comments based on this section? Seeing none, we're moving to the committee designee. Any questions or comments? All right, and then the committee designee reporting. All right, and so we'll keep moving forward here.
I had an issue with putting UA committee. I don't know. UA is not necessarily a committee. Or are UA representatives are not committees to UK? There are people appointed by the UK, right? So in another sense.
So in some respects they would serve somewhat let's put that as a discussion point.
Yeah.
That's under which section, Mike?
606 and 607.
Is that
right?
No, 605.
Sorry.
Can I see what we're referring to it? Oh, well. The Joyce is looking at these documents for too long.
Right here, 6.05.
Okay, so that's down as a discussion point.
All right, moving forward, I believe we're at 6.07. Any questions, comments on committee and committee designee reporting? Okay. Seeing none, we'll move forward. Now we're into the procedures of the GPSA, defined term of office, meeting schedule, regularly scheduled meetings, agendas, and resolutions. Any questions or comments based on the new section?
Section 7.02.
7.02.
Is it bimonthly?
Yes.
Bimonthly.
I know everyone wants to come bi-weekly.
Oh, good.
That's
a lot. That was actually in our old charter.
Bi-weekly,
yes. Yeah.
But it was interpreted as bi-monthly.
So.
Bi-weekly, once every, twice a week or once every 2 weeks.
This is actually, it's
Bi-weekly would mean twice a week.
All right.
What was the difference between biannual and biannual?
Take that as a friendly
name. As a friendly name.
Yeah. Okay.
Good catch, Ryan. All right. Any other questions or comments facing this section? Seeing none, we'll move forward. So then the discussion of resolutions is how they actually are able to be presented to the body. This is a new addition. Any questions or comments? All right, moving forward. Getting closer. So this is the additional meeting that Amy alluded to previously, where this additional meeting needs to be called and maybe scheduled at least 1 week in advance by the executive committee and written approval from at least 2/3 of the voting members.
But that's not consistent with the old charter, isn't it?
That's new. In the old charter, the only thing you could call an additional meeting for was for timely election of officers.
Yeah.
And we saw this as a problem, especially when you get into funding years, having the opportunity to have an additional business meeting, if you can meet quorum, because you still have to meet quorum, was a valuable thing to add in the charter. And we kept it consistent with the calling of an additional meeting for additional election officers, so that there wasn't discrepancy between two sections.
Moving forward, we move into the executive session. The part of the procedure as defined by Robert's rules, quorum, absentees, and then removal. We should discuss a little bit about removal because of the act. We have not only voting members, officers, but also a way to remove committee chairs and university assembly representatives. This was not in the previous charter, so there was actually technically not a defined way to remove committee chairs. Yes,
if I recall correctly, in the current charter, where we outlined the use of parliamentary procedure, I think there was some extra language that said that we weren't really tied to it. I mean, it worded much better than I think, because I think when we operate, we don't follow parliamentary procedure strictly, and I don't think that we want to.
No.
So I would imagine we want to include some language that says we use it as a basis, but we're not tied to it, unless I'm missing it.
All meetings shall be conducted using arbitrary orderly issues that shall be used as a basis for determining the procedures for debate and conduct.
That's right at the beginning.
Right.
So this would happen at a meeting, and it would be part of that, because that encompasses how our entire organization works. I don't think we need to redefine procedure unless it's that we want a 2/3 vote or a majority vote for certain things or certain defending guidelines out of the coordinator.
Yeah, I just don't think it's clear to me. If you read that, it's fine, but I don't need that there.
I think the chair has some sort of prerogative on the meetings as they wish.
In Robert's
okay.
Order, we're
okay.
Going to move on.
Guys, I'll put it down for the discussion.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll come back to the discussion. So any questions based on the removal procedure?
You can take it, Seth.
Well, I mean, only because if somebody brings up a Word document, these squiggly lines is very evident that there's something.
So moving on to the Article 8, which is establishment of bylaws, and there's space in there here.
Article 8, okay.
Any questions on the establishment of bylaws and external funding documents? This was a separate external funding document. The bylaw establishment was in a previous charter. We had the power previously. Seeing no comments, we move on to Article 9, which is the establishment of the GPFA activity fee.
This is the more expanded version of the definition that is underneath our authority. The reason why we deemed it necessary to keep this as a separate article within our charter is because of the fact that we have a letter with the administration granting us this power, and there's certain agreements we have that we really can't change. So that's why we wanted to keep it outside of the bylaws and within the charter itself.
You saw the statement.
I fixed the statement.
Yes, sir.
In part B, I think that we can come back to probably the same issue as
section 9.4C.
I think should we, not simply, should we, the appropriation committee, I think right now is the majority, present any revisions to the GPSA funding guidelines for majority vote of the assembly at least one meeting prior to a vote. The Appropriations Committee shall review the GPSAFC funding guidelines every second year in a non-previous year. I think right now that's something which has said that it should be reviewed every year, and I think it will be fine to do that every second year if possible, because then it's going to change that quickly and
So you're saying that under one, the Appropriations Committee shall present any revisions to the GPSAFC funding guidelines, and under two,
So under Q should also read, the Appropriations Committee shall review the GPSAFC funding guidelines every 6 years in a non-committee year.
I think it should have both Appropriations and Finance Commission, because I think it's valuable for both. But we can put that as a discussion point. And you're saying to do this in non-fee setting years?
Yeah.
I think in practice that's a big deal.
Okay.
Alright, something else friendly?
Sure, why not?
Put that better in the back.
Okay.
Moving on to section 9.05 from. So 9.05 currently is the funds and activity fees, how they're allocated.
Should I put that down as a sentence discussion point, guys?
So
they got the chair and tense on that second verse.
We so. Okay. I've got it
done. So moving forward, we move into how it's actually allocated. Any questions or comments based on this section?
Organization is being capitalized?
No.
Does it need to be?
Sure.
So it's the direct byline funding to organizations, lowercase?
Yep.
Well, it depends on whether if you're something, you either need to add the word funded with that capitalized or. You're talking about the funded organization as you will hereby refer to five organizations with capital O or
it's not defined.
Then the last part of that sentence should also be.
No, that's actually the name of the document. Okay. So that's a separate capitalization issue.
So are we changing the first organization?
Yes,
or
that's the second one.
I'm not making all the changes.
No, I know you are. I didn't know what was decided.
Right.
Yeah.
I like how you put the period outside the quotation mark.
That's going inside. Friendly
moving forward to Article 10, taken directly from the previous charter. These are what we have to protect the directive review itself. Any questions or comments? Seeing none at this time, we'll move into the charters and bylaws amendments. This is the procedure to make sure that the charter and bylaws amendments, the friendly amendments that I have to propose, is that at any place that says voting members, we have to put down seated voting members, or else there'll be a big issue with quorum. Any questions or comments based off of the charter or bylaw amendment procedure? Grammar errors? Format? Being done, we'll move on forward. The end of the document. Any further questions or comments on the document? We'll also open this up to a brief discussion phase because we still have three other documents to vote here.
Okay.
All right, so we'll go back to the discussion in order of how to present it in the charter itself.
Okay, so we're going back to the charter, right?
Yes, we're in the charter.
Okay, so I have section 3.2C.
Basically, I'm just wondering if you change that to from
semi-annual
report or semi-annual
report
or something like that.
I thought that was a good suggestion.
Yeah. Presented in the semi-annual report, because there are two reports.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's executive friendly.
Okay, so section 303C, I have a purpose. Addendum resolution proposed pursuant to section 7.04.
Where is it? 303.
C.
Okay, so agenda resolution proposed pursuant. Is it not the fragment?
Yeah.
Like
shall
proposed.
Be proposed, are
yeah.
proposed.
How about to stay consistent, shall be proposed.
Pursuant to charter, yeah. Because there's a particle there with now.
Okay, the next one I have is section 4.02A with the GRF, that's government friendly. The next one, Nighthawk, you wanted to chat about 4.04?
I'll
talk about
it at future meetings.
Okay.
All right.
Question?
Yes?
Michelle, if you go up back to when you were talking about the first word, one. I'm sorry, down. So.
4.02? Section 4.02 AI?
AI.
4.02?
AI.
Mm-hmm.
AI.
It's one.
One are spent elected on top of each individual branch of field, two electors and field, and 100.
Should the one be capitalized?
Be consistent, yeah, for one.
Where?
4.02
AI.
And I think you have to add will. One representative elected in.
It's actually a continuation of a.
Oh, okay.
The thing is that the composition shall be one representative, which is true. One representative must fall from each individual graduate field. But then the two elected from fields, and we said elsewhere in the document that they don't necessarily have to be elected. Because they can be appointed with the field representatives can be appointed with the approval of the DGF and the GM, which
means
drop is not elected.
How about two from fields with over 100?
That's fine.
Okay.
That's friendly.
Okay, the next one was 5.03.
That was me. So I have two comments about that. First is, okay, so under president and executive vice president, we make mention of business meeting versus discussion meeting,
mm-hmm.
and we have not defined what a business meeting is and what a discussion meeting is.
We do define that under meeting. It is defined under
where?
Business and discussion meeting
article.
Will we see that again?
defined under. It is defined later. So
Later, that should be. Yeah.
We reference it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we can say it defined in.
My second comment is regarding the Vice President of Operations. So we make somewhere, so somewhere in five, within Section 5, we talk about when the President is not present, the Executive Vice President runs an assembly meeting, and when the Executive Vice President is not present, the President would run a core meeting. What happens when both are out?
There are no meetings.
Yeah, we got to put that in there somewhere.
Sorry.
Does the Vice President of Operations then chair those meetings?
Sorry.
So does the VPO then run the meeting?
Do we really need to define that in there?
I mean, you've already started with defining when Pres is absent and when Vice President, when Exec is absent.
I think we could add it to the VPO and probably stop there, because I mean, you can continue.
Oh, no,
I think it should be a free for all. Really?
Everybody runs free!
So, continue to change it to the VPO.
Yeah, I would.
What's this now? Okay.
Something along the lines of.
What about chair of business
and discussion meeting in the case that President and Executive Vice President.
Or in the absence of the President and Executive Vice President.
Like that
word. In the absence of the President and Executive Vice President. Except it is friendly. So there's 0.6 under Vice President for Operations. Okay. Next discussion point, 6.04H2.
Wasn't there the one before that about the event coming? Or is that after? Sorry.
This is the grad ball issue.
Oh, it is. Okay.
6.04H2. Grad ball.
So my issue with that is, for example, that under communications, we don't write it in specifically that the executive vice president uses GPSA info, or that for the advocacy committee that we, does it say in the bylaws that you have to have a town hall in the charter?
In the charter.
It's in the charter.
Okay. Well, I would say that that's how we, well, it doesn't say it in my first point is that it doesn't say, I don't think that the charter should explicitly say how we do things. That's what the bylaws are for. I think that to the extent that the charter says general and doesn't specifically say you have to do X, Y, and Z, I think that that's better.
Hey, Carly, do you remember our discussion around this? I thought in committee, I'm losing.
Okay. You had the same logic. I don't
know why it ended up in there, although honestly, that was pretty big event. It was probably our biggest event. I think that
we have been
our logical kind of event. We might have been working to change that up to me.
So, what was the last part?
It's like our biggest event that really you put on.
Sure.
We are not going to have the Red Ball, so the team to the charter.
Okay, so Brian, and then Mike, and then
you. So, just to make the comment, all it's saying is that the committee would be doing it, as in they would be doing grad ball, or they would be doing a town hall meeting. It's still vague enough that it's not saying you will do it in this fashion. So.
Right.
Mike?
Point of information, wasn't the committee founded with the intent of it being on grad ball?
I believe so.
Yeah.
No.
Was it? I thought that was one of the things that we found out.
I was the first of us, sure.
I know.
And that's why I asked.
Brian Holmes sought me out, said, would you be the chair? And I'm like, well, what does that mean? And he said, I don't know, you put on some events. And then Janet Bertesi walked in the door, and she's like, I think we need to have a ball. And so then Brian Holmes was like, Michelle, as a vice chair, you get to do the grand ball. And I'm like, I thought you meant, wasn't going to have to do much with that.
Well played.
And my point to this is that we can change how events can decide in the future how to change. Yes, this is something that's, you know, central to, in the past it's been something huge, but same thing as GPS Anchor is something huge that we do in our committee, and the town hall is surely something huge that is used by advocacy, but that in the future we may for whatever reason decide to do something else. And so to add that to the charter, I don't think is necessary. I think it's sufficient to have it in the bylaws, and bylaws still require a 50% vote. It's not like you can just do away with it.
I think I agree with you on this point. However, I think that we have a structural problem again in people involved. So I think it's not a bad idea to write down one event which actually is required to happen before that people can get involved. I mean, I follow your logic, and I would, but I would think that the town hall meeting for advocacy would be a big exception.
Due to time concerns, I think we have to cut off discussion at that point and have it as a vote. And the amendment that's on the table is to delete which section are we
H2
of section 6.
6.4H2 is to just delete that point.
Or the other suggestion that wasn't made is that we add something about GPSA info into the communications committee. But I have to say that I think I agree with Mario, but
I at this point amendments take majority vote. So are you okay moving to vote on this amendment, Michelle? As chair?
Yeah. So do we want to delete grad ball? What is it? H2?
Yeah.
Yes.
Motion?
So moved. I guess.
Second.
Okay. So vote to delete line H2. The events committee is specifically charged with funding and planning the annual grad ball. In favor of deleting that line. Five in favor. Opposed. Six in favor, one abstention.
Three
abstentions. So doesn't pass.
Okay. So that's six. Okay. Next thing is section 6.05, the UA rep designation.
Yeah, I think this is what you brought up.
Yep.
Yeah, I guess looking at the differences between, you know, the UA used to be in the officer section, the now it's in the committee section. The UA is not a committee, it's a separate organization, separate body. It's not a committee of the GPSA. In a way, we're electing these people to an office of the GPSA as a representative to the UA. That might not be the best explanation. But I see it more. I don't see that conclusion. So somebody else. Maybe.
Rebecca and then Nighthawk.
As a counterpoint, I also note that not only to internal GPSA committee, the section also has GPA representation to outside organizations as well. And by that logic, I do think that the university message fits in with that, even if it doesn't mean it was the GPSA internal committee.
Nighthawks and Amy.
I agree with Mike's point that it's not a committee. I think that in terms of being able to place it somewhere in the overall framework of the charter, it might be okay to leave it here if we put in an explicit statement acknowledging while the University Assembly is not a committee, we see something stressed that could be one possible in the administration.
So just to explain, part of the reason we left this in here is because the UA rep hasn't been serving as officers, and we wanted to leave that as being officers of the GPSA. And then in terms of trying to fit it in, like Nighthawk said, to the overall framework, this was the best place we could find to fit it in, because we didn't feel it was well defined under the responsibility section, because that seems like a stupid place to define all the specifics of appointing these guys. And so my view is that this is the best place for it. If we want to put a caveat in there, somebody's welcome to propose wording to do so.
More comments, discussion here?
I'm wondering, because at the same time, we also have committee designees where we appoint people to all sorts of other committees, but right now this comes after the UA representation. I'm wondering if we push this to a paragraph or a section where there might be zero because that they would be the ones that.
Rebecca.
Or we could just change the title of the article to maybe committees and representation.
Does it make it a term?
Do you refer to section 6 or section 6-5?
No, article 6. It said just as committee as a title.
Of the article itself.
I would accept that as a friendly amendment.
Hold on. So the UA delegates to us the responsibility of appointing these members. These memberships are in the UA charter. Would it make more sense just to put the election procedures for this into our bylaws as part of that delegation? I bring this up because just the FAA is in the charter, not the Department of Transportation. I don't think they have any.
I think in terms, we designate how we appoint committee designees, and such along that lines that I think it's important to keep it in our charter to designate it so somebody can't change it as easily. I think it's an important thing to have consistent and in there.
I understand the point, but one thing that I understand from my point is that we don't actually have the authority to connect people to that. We are sort of not in the public, so maybe we could put wording in there that expresses that.
I think we have the authority. It's been given to us at the beginning of our charter, which were things that came directly from We are already at a 6:45. According to my clock.
Have we gone through all the discussion?
I believe we have 7:10 as a discussion point, yes. And then 7:10 was the next discussion point, and then that's the last discussion point. And
open the 7:10 discussion.
7:10 was the discussion on voting members, or removal of officers, and I think Nighthawk? That was Nighthawk?
Did you have any discussion point on 7:10 removal of GPSA officers?
No. Discussion section.
Oh, okay. What about
7:10.
I brought it.
I think so. Somebody brought up something about removing members and officers and committee chairs and Robert's Rules of Order and something.
I didn't.
There's no recollection.
Okay, no recollection. We're moving on. And after that, there were no more discussion points. So I'd like to propose that we take this charter to a vote of those people here. Michelle, would you lead us in a vote? I move to approve the charter as amended in today's meeting.
I second.
Do we have
Okay.
Those in favor of the charter as amended today. Eleven in favor, opposed? Abstentions. Charter passes.
Yay! Okay,
now I would ask for a motion to move item 4-1, resolution 10, to the 20.
Motion to resolution 10 to the table and move the rest of the discussion in the previous
agenda point.
Second.
Lay on the table.
Thank you. In favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, I'm going to hand it over to Mario.
Well, given that this resolution was sent out, I'm not going to read it word for word, but I do want to go over just briefly the resolve, just to make sure that that's clear. It starts at, be it therefore resolved that the GPSA strongly urges the president and dean of students to consider the request of the, and there I'm inserting graduate per Seth's suggestion via email. Graduate LGBT students outlined in this resolution.
Okay. Just keep going and I'll...
Let me just finish reading it and then... be it therefore resolved that the university should consider giving the LGBT administrative staff access to Cornell LGBT alumni information, and or that the Cornell development staff consider working with the LGBT administrative staff in seeking funds for the LGBT resources and personnel, and be it finally therefore resolved that it goes to all these people. This resolution came about as a response to a number of meetings that have been held with undergrad and graduate students, undergrad and graduate LGBT students, including community staff, and what I mean by staff is both administrative and professors. Essentially, there have been there's been one position that has been vacant for a year and a half, two positions that were vacated over at the LGBT Resource Center, and given the economic downturn, students in particular, well, I'll give this my perspective. I, when I first came to this university, and I mentioned this both when President Scorton was here both times, I thought that the resources on campus were already lacking. They were really being responsive and not proactive. And that's when we had the staff over at the LGBT Resource Center. Now we have those two positions were, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, they were on pause. And so this is a resolution saying we really need the administrative support to have a baseline of services. And again, this came about from a number of meetings, both undergrad and graduate students. So I'll take your questions if you have any. Did you have something
about that? I just had an action in the first, be it therefore resolved.
Okay.
Does it change to graduate
LGBT?
Should it also be grad professional?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, yes. I have your question.
Sure.
I mean, it may be explicit to people receiving this resolution.
Sure.
The last where at, how is that going to help the situation? Because we're consolidating this position under the Resource Center as opposed to being under the current designation. How will that
sure.
help? Just
yes, there. During the meeting, there was a number. There are some documents that were put together, but generally, the students were saying that we want a consolidation of resources. Currently, what was taking place is that there was a position under, House in Willow Street Hall that I believe reports directly to.
It's the opposite student support.
Thank you.
And we're the outreach.
Right.
There are six. Normally six associates sit the needs now supporting the associates as students. And the assistant need for LGBT outreach is a position that's gone open for years.
Right. And then there's the LGBT Resource Center, which is over at Caldwell. And there really is, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, but there's no direct link to those positions in terms of who responds to who. So the student, and there's also, in those discussions, students were, especially undergrads, were feeling that their needs weren't being met by being housed there. So what's your other question?
My other question was, I remember the discussion you had with President Scorton when he was here at the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So to respect that in terms of the second fee is further resolved. I was just wondering the reasonability, that's not a word, the reasonableness of these requests in terms of are these things that we could expect could actually happen in terms of being able to provide that alumni information?
Sure.
Is there any precedent for sure. such action?
Well, actually, Dean Hubble sent out a document where, and again, correct me if I'm wrong, but essentially there is a desire to fill two positions, one a full-time position and the other constituted by current staff. So that's already reasonable, I guess, if that's your question. In terms of consolidation, that's really one of the requests of this resolution. I don't know if that kind of suggestion, urgency has come from GPSA before on any issue. I would imagine that it doesn't, to me, it's no different than asking for housing to do specific things, to urge housing to do specific things.
I'm not specifically referring to, like, that the university should consider giving the administrative staff access to the LGBT alumni.
Oh, that part.
Yeah.
That is new, and I think that was a response to President Scorton. When he was here, he suggested, you know, that we all think about ways of, you know, addressing the solution other than give us more money. And this is a way for the LGBT Resource Center staff to proactively look for funding.
My next point was in the third whereas clause, the use of the word heterosexism.
Where is that?
The third whereas clause, it's in the last, like fifth word in the end, the word heterosexism. Mm-hmm. From the context of youth, and I understand what that word means, it's not a word that I've been exposed to before. I looked it up on Wikipedia to try to get a definition of it, and I noticed that it said on Wikipedia that, in however you want to trust Wikipedia, that there was certain contention and research circles over the definition of this thing. So I was wondering if the reason you use this particular word is because, is that stated? Because this is referring to the mission of the resource center.
That is.
The resource center states this word.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Brian.
Just one comment. In all of your defining your letter words, you don't define what LGBTQ is.
Oh, yeah. Did
you have that
one? I had it in front.
So would you accept the friendly amendment just to put in the fourth whereas what
I did this
was
sort of thing?
Yeah.
Fourth.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I will take it as a friendly amendment to add to write it out in one place.
Just the first time and then
just
you
the first
can
time.
Get
yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Did I get
it?
Is that the first time?
Yeah. Okay. Although I would put the key
there.
Yeah. So, two
questions. Anything else? Tomorrow.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Second, whereas. That ended it where it goes, their differences whether they be cultural, religious, sexual preference, or gender identity.
Where is that in
the
second
whereas,
the end of the line. Sexual preference, I think, is a little
a
difficult term because some people don't like that term because preference implies choice. Whereas if you say something like sexual orientation, it's not.
So you're proposing sexual orientation and
as
amendment?
Yes, as opposed to sexual.
You know, this it was another place where I cut and paste directly
from them.
And so I am completely in agreement with you. So I don't know.
If we can change it, if it's their wording.
It's their wording.
But it's not resolution.
Right, but I'm referencing their.
Then it should be in quotes.
Okay, can we put it? Oh, then it kind of brings more attention to it.
No, it's okay.
I will. What is your recommendation?
Then that's more of a conversation to have with. When we actually have somebody in the position and ask why they're using the term. Because it's not a light term.
I completely agree.
Anyway.
Okay.
Drop in, just drop it.
Okay.
From a technical perspective, in terms of language and given context, it seems as though they combine sexual orientation and preference as an actual phrase here. Sexual preference may be interpreted uncomfortably by people who think, well, it suggests that it's choice or whatever, but really, if you think of it within a context of part of preference, part of preference does not imply choice. It just implies part of preference. If you said to a heterosexual person, you know, you prefer that woman, I prefer that. if somebody you spoke to, I mean, some of the same president or objections from their you know, something like that. It doesn't imply choice greater than, you know, natural inclination.
Okay.
Literally.
I think, Jeroen, did you have a comment? Okay. Any other comments? Seeing none, then we'll move to a vote.
Motion to approve special.
Second.
Okay. Then do you have a motion on the table to approve? Wait, is that where we are?
No, yeah. we're in the voting part.
Let's just vote on it. Let's just vote.
Okay. Vote on the resolution in favor.
I have a question. The comments that are pitched by Ian, did that get discussed at all?
I added, we added graduate and professional to the third be at their resolve.
First, limiting our scope of it.
Graduate and professional LGBTQ.
Okay. Voting in favor of resolution 10, please raise your placards.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 in favor, opposed? Abstention? 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 abstentions?
Wait a minute. I don't know if that's real.
What was that? What was that?
I'm sorry. I think you
might
have to vote.
I might have to vote? Oh. I thought I could abstain since I was the originator. Okay.
If you call a majority.
Then I will add.
No.
It is a majority.
If you have amendments were added to the option.
Oh,
okay. Well, then, if you can just add me to the approval.
Even if they're friendly amendments?
If you brought their friendly.
Okay.
So then it would be 10 in favor, no opposed, and 3 abstentions?
I'm going to have to take a motion to suspend the rules if Mario doesn't want to vote because it's his own.
That's fine. No, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. We'll discuss it.
All right.
I'm too tired.
Okay, the resolution passes. Thank you, Mario.
Thank you.
All right.
So, Mario, do my best to accommodate.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks again. Okay. We'll go back to charter
and
discussion.
And this case, you extend the meeting to what time?
I was just going to say 15 minutes
from now. 7:15, and we'll reevaluate that.
Do I have a second?
Second.
In favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I think we'll support for 7:15.
Okay.
Okay.
At this point, what's our condition for the next 15 minutes?
In all honesty, voting on things at the April meeting is going to be non-realistic. So, in some respects, we need to get through the remaining 3 documents that are on the table. I know.
I think another point of on the clarification.
Mike, yep.
When we talked about approving these things, it referred to the former charter, it talked towards the majority of seated members.
Seated members. Which, when we looked at that, we interpreted that as the seated members here as being 2/3 of the seated members. And that's why. It's defined as such in both
documents. I would think it would say, right, and I think there is.
I don't think seated is up for interpretation. I think seated means the number who are voting members.
Who
have a seat on the assembly.
Yes.
So
basically, everyone who is currently in office.
Right.
Okay, so then at that point, Michelle would have had to have voted on the charter. Because we need 12 members.
You need 13, right?
But there's one spot that isn't filled, I thought. I thought the law school spot is open.
No, it is filled.
Did we have 13 members at that time?
That we were voting on the charter?
What was the vote? Because Carly was here for that vote.
I also said that because I know the motion to take off.
1101, which means we didn't have two codes.
It depends on how you interpret it. We discussed it earlier today and went with the members that were here as being seated and how we interpreted it.
Are you saying that's what's in the original charter?
Yes, that is seated members is in the original charter.
And seated means of, it means 19 members.
We took it as the members that were here seated in the room.
What I'm saying is that seated is not a term that is open for interpretation.
But what we took as voting members were assembly. The assembly members would be the entire body, and seated would mean the members that were here.
Seated is a member who got a chair, whether it's sitting in the chair.
So then
that's what it means in federal government.
So the charter also designates members present as well. For one is when you elect members of the university assembly, the GPSA is given that. The delegate may be recalled by the majority vote of seated GPSA members present and the delegate selected.
So then,
the executive session may be approved by majority vote of GPSA members present.
Okay. So then, this brings to the fact no seats are open on the assembly, correct?
None.
Are any members, so considering the last full person that hasn't been here, is that...
He was here last meeting.
He was here last meeting.
And
okay.
He sent me an email saying he had a seminar tonight.
Okay. So then that means that if we want to do this charter, we have to get 13 members here to approve it at the next meeting.
Or, you know, I mean, can't we... Oh, we're not allowed to set for the new meeting, like, right?
Or Seth came after the vote, or
okay.
You were here for the vote?
Yeah.
He was out. Were you outside when we voted?
I'm here, we voted on the charter.
Okay.
I think, though, that there have been enough discussion points that we could send this back to committee for discussion and update and then vote at the next meeting.
Can we vote at the court meeting?
In our current charter, no.
I thought but last year at the officer meeting. Election meeting, we had one piece of business that we covered before the officer election. And... So we covered the piece of business and we went moved into officer elections.
In the current charter, we'll be allowed to call a special meeting for election of new officers. In the new charter that is passed, we are allowed to call an extra meeting for...
It's not passed, and even if it were passed...
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. In the previous charter...
We assembly will elect a new assembly at the next board meeting, or the next board meeting? You can do any action you want at regular scheduled business meetings, which is technically the next meeting. No, that's the final assembly meeting. Right. This new assembly does not take office.
Until next year, the assembly could come together at the beginning of the meeting, and then the new assembly members, I mean, anybody can come to these meetings. So the new assembly members that are voted for at the next core meeting can also be present, but they don't vote on these matters.
Okay.
We would vote, and then we go into election of officers.
Right. Okay, so that's probably not a bad thing to do. But with that in mind, how about we go through any issues that are left that we can touch quickly as discussion points, at least in the next document. Instead of going through line by line, how about we take suggestions from the floor first for the bylaws? Okay. Suggestions from the floor for the bylaws.
I have something, but I think they're not controversial. I have something which might be controversial in the policy itself.
In the what?
In the one of the documents, the eligibility and allocation criteria, or whatever it's called.
We're not. So, bylaws, things to be changed, moved around. The suggestions that people had sent that had not been incorporated were incorporated.
Getting all the time fonts.
Yep.
Do you want to have those now? Because, I mean, if I read this, it's going to take 6 minutes.
Okay,
so
send
them
to us. Anything major on the bylaws? Okay, seeing nothing, we will move on to the funding document. The first one to look at would be the byline allocation procedure.
I have a point.
Like
that. So if you go to item 5.
Is this under byline allocation procedure?
It would be.
Okay.
Item 5, section 5.04. I can't read it. So the second half of the sentence, there's something wrong.
Okay, so I would propose to change this section to the funding measures which have been approved by the GPSA according to the section or item number 3 shall be presented to the president of the university as the official GPSA grants and professional student activities union proposal by the president of the GPSA and the appropriate committee chair by the
Point of clarification on that. When you put chair of the meeting, the proposal was approved because in cases such as last year where the executive vice president was the chair of the meeting and was there for the discussion, we wanted that opportunity to be there.
So can you work on wording offline?
Yaron, can you send specific wording to Amy?
There should be the word "at" after approved.
Right.
If it stays as is.
And I think what you're saying is that you accept that it's a chair of the meeting rather than president of the GPSA, but you have specific wording which you'll send to Amy. Okay.
So I think you have proposed and proposed.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Any other points?
Content issues in these documents. Is this the time where we have the opportunity to do that? Okay. So seeing no additional comments, let's go to the GPSA eligibility criteria and obligations for byline funded organizations.
Yeah, so one is third paragraph, we should have byline edited before funding. So this document describes how organizations may obtain byline funding.
Yeah. Okay.
Then section 4.1A, I think the order should be changed and the numbering that I sent it to you.
Okay. One content issue that has been brought up is the petition guideline, what percentage to use for organizations. This is under section 2.2, E and F. Some of the content was whether it should be 10% for any type of organization or 10 and 15%. Go for it.
Okay. I've had the great experience of going around collecting signatures for the office. And I understand how it's a difficult challenge. After watching actually Slope Day go through it 2 years ago without any funding from the GPSA, I think we've all come to realize how difficult it is to go out there and get student signatures, specifically graduate professional student signatures. And they were able to get, I think, about 750, which is about 150 shy, or would have been 150 shy of 15% that would be required as a facilitator with a university organization. We subsequently decided to suspend the rules in that case to allow them to find filing funding in with the requisite 10% of student schools. Going around, I collected 500 signatures in my campaign last year. I must have spent at least 29 hours doing so. And that was all good. Pardon? 29 hours. And that was going after all students. And that was going pretty much to every little nook and cranny of the campus where I could find.
So the student, do you mean just undergraduates included?
In my campaign, yes. Yeah. In this, no. It has to be graduate professional students. And to go around, you know, basically there are only a couple places where you can go after that. Law school, doctor school, vet school, concentrated population graduates, and you made the bond in the Friday afternoon. Slowjay did that. They weren't able to go all the way. And they did that within 5 weeks. I think with the stipulation we have in this, it would probably equate to 3 weeks during that time period. I think 15% is very close to impossible. Those students that generally look at on Slowjay work harder than anyone else to get those numbers. And I just don't think. I think it's functionally impossible, and I do respect your point that it should be made difficult, but I believe that it shouldn't be made impossible. And this distinction is a funny distinction. In the university, I don't think anyone can really describe what that distinction is. Maybe your intent to some extent, but it's always a distinction. If the student assembly get rid of that differential, I think we should do it.
Considering time, thank you. Point made. Yarn?
Again, I think Slowjay is a good example because I think many students simply don't want to sign the petition because they don't want to sign it. So I think that makes it a good example, and I think that, you know, if you were really doing that, they appreciate. I've never tried to put up people, I can imagine it's hard, but I think if you with 20 hours to tell yourself managed to do it, then let's multiply that by 3, that's 60 hours, you get 20 people, everyone spends 3 hours. If you really want to find graduates, I think you can walk from office to office. And, you know, maybe to get 800 signatures for a course where everybody actually supports it, I'm not sure whether it's possible. And I find one of the big difficulties is that we really don't know what people want. And I think this is one of the few points where people actually have to go out and communicate. And I appreciate your point.
Okay, points made. In the interest of time, we're going to move on. If there are other comments on the document,
can we do a consensus of sorts of what people think, or do we need to vote and discuss on that percentage?
What I would like is to refer this back to committee. And have the next committee meeting be open, be advertised and open to other members of the assembly and ex officio members to attend, to make these comments, right? And then to come forward with a percentage that is either voted on or amended next time, but not for discussion.
Okay. Any other points of contention from these documents that people have found? Okay. Harass everybody to show up at the next meeting because we really don't want these documents to go on into the next meeting.
Okay. So, Amy and Preston are going to come up with another meeting for the Charter Review Committee. It'll be advertised to the entire corps, via GPSA-corps-members. So new members that have not served on the committee can attend those meetings, bring your comments to that meeting, and then the next time we meet, we'll have officer elections, but at the end of the meeting, and we'll vote on the documents before, at the very beginning. So any other comments? If not, Chair would entertain a motion to adjourn during the meeting. Second. And in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Extensions. Meeting adjourned at 7:19 p.m.
Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.